goodwill happening in society, in most parts. People try to be nice, friendly, conflict avoiding with your neighbors. And those are very important human qualities that I myself quite cherish. The problem with is that with airlines, they're not humans, and people are still treating airlines as if they were humans. An airline is simply a machine that is built to take away your money and give you as little service as possible. Like most corporations, by the way, it's not something specific to airlines, just that in airlines, it's really in your face. So, of course, you should be very nice to the agent, even the agent who is shortchanging Nathan, Jesse's friend. At the same time, when it comes to dealing with a corporation, there's nothing to be nice about. They're just a machine. They have no feelings that you can hurt. They won't have a bad sleep if you win against them. And actually, you're doing a service to the country and service to society by clarifying that breaking the law, shortchanging consumers is not a viable way to make business. Earlier, we mentioned how many airlines have gone bankrupt. What I would like to see once is one airline going bankrupt for one reason, which is getting a big fine for mistreating passengers. If it would happen once and the government would make it clear that we are going to do it again to airlines, it would change the whole dynamics.
All right. We will put up a link to that, Ken Lee, link to that legislation on Canada Land's website, and we're going to link to your Facebook group as well. Gabor, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jesse.
That's your Canada Land. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for giving us your time. You can email me at jesse@canadaland.com. I read everything that you send. Our website is at canadaland.com. Our senior producer is Bruce Thorson. Research and editorial assistance this week from Cherie Suturin. Audio production and editing from Caleb Thompson. Max Collins is our production manager. Karen Pugliese is our editor-in-chief. Theme music is by So-Called. Syndication's handled by CFUV, 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. Thank you for supporting Canada Land. Hi there. You just heard Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each week, and we talk about the media's coverage of various stories in the news right now. Wait for it. Author, journalist, professor, and icon of Canadian media, Jan Wong, how you doing?
Good. Icon means you're old.
Veteran means you're old.
Oh, okay.
Icon means you're
I'm like Madonna.
There you go. Today on the show, Jan, toned down for what? Do Canadian politics really need to get nicer just because of what happened to Trump? Welcome to Shortcuts, where we talk about the news.
Time to cool it down.
The rhetoric is way too high.
Tone things down.
I agree fully that we need to tamp down political rhetoric.
Turn down the political temperature.
I have not engaged in that rhetoric. Now, my opponent is engaged in that rhetoric.
Everyone needs to turn the rhetoric down.
Well, I think it's pretty hot down in the U.S. Like, everyone needs to step back, be united.
That some of the progressive politicians here are careful of their language because they've been talking about conservative politicians in the same way, and they need to dial it down.
Dial it down, Jan. Simmer down. Simmer down, everybody. You see what happens if you don't simmer down. Do we need to simmer down on the political rhetoric?
Well, we don't have the same number of guns lying around in Canada, so it's not exactly parallel. But yeah, we probably need to tone it down quite a bit, I think, because it does speak to fringe lunatics when they talk like this. People feel like, oh, let me do something about this. So I think it's gotten really uncivilized.
What sort of an idiot would say otherwise? What sort of a monster, Jan, would say, no, let's tone it up. Let's get more divisive and angry and violent in our rhetoric. I mean, you know, and this has been going on for a long time, and it's certainly a new thing in Canada, an ugly thing. Treason, hang Trudeau, Trudeau.
Yeah, that's all new.
And then Trump survives this assassination attempt, and now all of a sudden, Okay, let's be grown-ups now. And the same thing that they're saying in the States, and a lot of finger-wagging of like, okay, it's gone too far. Let's pull back, tone it down. And that carries forth to Canada. So what sort of an idiot would push back against a plea for civility? Well, let me give it a shot here. I'm just skeptical of a couple parts of this. This rush to wag fingers and scold each other, first of all, you kind of hit on it. It sort of instantly erases that we are a different country. You're just inheriting, oh, that happened in America, so we have to respond. We do not have a culture and a history of political violence the same as the States. No prime minister has ever been assassinated. You got to go back to like Darcy McGee and like FLQ. Like, you know, there's a handful of acts of political violence in Canadian political history, but it is not nearly the same thing. Like, it's normal in the States for people to try to kill presidents. You know, my first bit of pushback is just like, we don't have to just do exactly what's going on there. It is a different country.
But we don't really have a border anymore with social media and regular traditional media. You can see American news and commentary immediately. So we've lost that wall. It used to be years ago when you got your newspaper delivered by a little kid who threw it on your lawn or your front porch, you saw the news for your community. But we don't have that anymore. So it's fine to say we're a different country, but we are being affected or infected by the same overheated, biased media, one-sided media. And you can see that with the convoy in Ottawa. That came out of nowhere, it seemed. And it was such a shock, I think. And that's why they were able to hang around Ottawa for like a month before anybody figured out what to do. It's fine to say we're a different country, and we are a different country. We have different gun laws, but we're kind of so close, we're getting infected.
They sneeze, we catch a cold. That's always been true. But your point is a good one. It's supercharged. It's instantaneous, the impact they have on our culture. I still feel like we overreact. And everything that was egregious and ugly about what happened in Ottawa, it was still largely speech and not political violence. Mm-hmm. The main point of skepticism that I have towards what's happening now with all these pleas for sanity and pleas for civility is I just don't buy it. For example, Alberta Premier Danielle Smith. We heard her in that sound pack. She's one of the voices out there saying it's gone too far. It's unacceptable. Look at the headlines. Look at what the opposition is saying. They're calling me dangerous. They're calling Pierre Poilievre dangerous. That kind of language is what leads to this sort of thing, is what she's suggesting. And they need to dial it down. It's the same as in the States, is what Danielle Smith says.
But she has been extremist in her own words.
Well, exactly. When she was talking to Tucker Carlson, and she said that a Trudeau cabinet minister should be put in Tucker Carlson's crosshairs.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that she meant that rhetorically. But if what we're saying is that this rhetoric leads to actual violence, this is the thing, is that everybody in politics seems to feel that criticism against them is too far, is abusive, is harassment, is trolling, is violence. But the criticism that they have for their opponents is reasonable and warranted and just healthy debate. You know, it's not just on the right. Charlie Angus, who's outgoing NDP MP, he's online going at Poilievre saying, you've got to turn down your rhetoric. You recently led a vicious attack on a medical doctor who's now receiving death threats. And when I called you out, I received death threats with gun images. Your words matter, Poilievre. And this is from Charlie Angus, who is a very fiery orator and who called Poilievre a total political snake.
Well, I guess it's newsflash. Politicians are hypocrites.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's not that I don't think we should tone it down. It's just that I don't believe them, that they're actually trying to tone it down. You know who actually you can believe is Pierre Poilievre.
What?
In this specific instance, okay. You can believe him, because what happened was he quickly tweeted after Trump survived that assassination attempt, I'm glad the suspected shooter is dead.
I know.
Which is like a wild, I'm glad the suspected shooter is dead. He could have just said, I mean, this guy was the shooter. It's only journalists like us who have to say things like alleged and
right.
He could have said, I'm glad the shooter is dead. But like, it's just a weird sentence. I'm glad the suspected shooter is dead. But as I was saying earlier, you can trust Pierre Poilievre when he said this in response to, don't you, Pierre Poilievre, need to tone down your rhetoric?
First of all, let's be very clear. My criticisms of the prime minister have been entirely reasonable and focused on his policy agenda. We are not going to censor ourselves now. We're not going to allow this shooter to shut down our debate. That criticism will continue. It is my job.
So even Trump is saying, let's tone it down. And I think he's lying because Trump is not going to tone it down. Polyev is like, nope. Everything I say is valid. Everything I say is reasonable. I am going to keep going with the same tenor that I always have. I believe him. Do you believe him, Jan?
Oh, yeah. But I don't believe him when he says he's not a part of the problem. Yes, of course, he's going to continue because that's his brand and that's what he likes to do. And that's how he gets his fringe followers.
Is there anything to be admired in just the refusal to pay any lip service to the like solemn moment of let's all act like grownups? No, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm glad the shooter's dead. That's what he said. Said what people were thinking, right?
Well, let's talk about what people are thinking, because the inciting incident here is this bit of history that we witnessed. This event was like, it's a wild thing to watch that video clip. And a professor who said what they were thinking and maybe what some other people were thinking, maybe.
Yeah.
After Trump narrowly by, like, it's just, history is so crazy that just a matter of inches has, like, massive implications on the world. And Karen Pinder, a professor at UBC's medical school, tweeted, what a glorious day this could have been. What a glorious day this could have been, the implication being, if the assassin had been successful. And Trump had been killed. And, you know, we're seeing versions of this everywhere. Like the guy from Tenacious D, Kyle Gass, said it now. And that's breaking up Tenacious D. Jack Black had to cancel their tour and put their... Anyhow, it happened here in Canada. This professor said, what a glorious day it could have been. And the media jumped on this. It's all over. UBC investigating professor's social media post after Trump shooting. Global News, CBC, City News, Vancouver Sun, The Globe and Mail. Journalist Michelle Sika put together all of these headlines and said, it's insane to see such intense media coverage of this UBC professor who made a very stupid tweet about Trump. The degree of coverage from outlets eager for any Canadian angle on the biggest news story of the moment is irresponsible and will exacerbate threats and harassment. What do you think about tweeting this comment? What a shame. What a glorious day this could have been.
Well, the thing you have to understand is professors are not like, well, I was a professor, but they're not like normal people. They're children because there's no adult supervision. It is the weirdest kind of work environment I've ever been in, where there's nothing at stake and everybody's brutally like fighting in factions and throwing books. Like I've seen them throw a binder, like stomp out. They're like little kids. No parents are at home. This is a professor who has tenure. You know, there's this thing called academic freedom, which is used to cover all kinds of behavior. And she just said what many people are thinking, but most people had brakes on, like, oh, if I tweet this, I'm going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
So, but professors at universities don't have the normal restraints that other people have.
I mean, is there value to that? Like, I don't think that she's the only person who thought that. Can we talk about the thought itself and sort of the moral moment where everyone, like right now, everyone is very united and like, that's bad, bad, bad. Don't say that. That's a bad, bad thing to say.
No, they're not united. Everybody is whispering. They lower their voice and they say, too bad.
You're not allowed to say that. That's what bad people say, Jan.
I'm just quoting. I'm reporting.
The interesting thing about this moment is, what is the biggest threat to rule of law and democracy and peaceful passage of power is arguably Trump himself.
Yes. Look at the judicial rulings of the past few weeks. I mean, his president has immunity to do anything in the course of his duties in office. What does that mean? Or, you know, the documents case gets thrown out because the judge that he appointed, who seems to be very inept, but does what is very helpful for Trump, she threw out this case. It's like, so I don't know. I think it's okay for people to think like that.
Everybody's playing by the rules with a person who doesn't play by the rules. And that doesn't mean that we, like, and people are pointing out, well, Trump has advocated for political violence. Trump has blood on his hands. Trump joked about what happened to Nancy Pelosi's husband.
I think it's okay to think thoughts about what would have happened. I mean, world history hinges on sometimes people survive and the world changes. So I think it's fine to talk about it. We're being overly prudish about saying, oh, you can't say that. it's fine. Just talk about it, right? Your First Amendment, right? And if you're an American, you can talk about it.
Yeah. Well, you're still allowed to think whatever you want. And
still, for now.
For now, you're technically allowed to talk about it. But as realists and journalists, that's not the thing that happened. The other thing
happened. Can I just say one more thing about this? Like, he's been praised by people on both sides of the border for having the instincts after he gets, you know, nicked on the ear. Like, I think it was a graze, but we don't know because, interestingly, there has been no press conference by the doctors that treated him. Normally, you'd always have. But this is what I want to say.
Sure.
He raises fists. He says, fight, fight, fight. But I want to hear more about, you know, my shoes. My shoes. I need my shoes. His shoes were off.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so why were his shoes off? I care about these things.
I assumed that in the chaos and the melee and falling to the floor, he somehow lost his shoes. What do you think?
Have you ever fallen or tripped and your shoes fell off, other than flip-flops?
I don't think so. So what do you think?
Well, I don't know what I'm reading on Twitter these days, but he's has lifts on because he wants to be taller. And there's a picture of the lifts tumbling off the stage. Now, I only care about lifts because when I interviewed Peter Nygaard over lunch,
yes,
he had lifts. And that was one of my goals, is to make sure that I got it right. And I walked behind him and I saw his heel slipping at a much higher level, right?
Yeah.
And then I had, the Globe wouldn't allow me to write that without a second confirmation. So I got the second confirmation. So I care about lifts.
Why are lifts more likely to have come off than other types of shoes?
Oh, because your heel is quite high off the back of your shoe. I just want to, you know, that whole picture of him pumping his fist and all these columnists writing about, wow, what great instincts. Before he raised his fist, before he said, fight, 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 he said, my shoes.
I won't criticize you for your bizarre, persnickety attention to detail here, because I think that's the job. But I do feel like it's not just a question of praising his instincts. And I think that you got to recognize what actually happened. We watched something epic happen in that moment. And you can hate Trump. You can dismiss Trump. You can ridicule Trump. You can disentangle where the hair came from and the shoes and everything that's ridiculous about him. But if you don't recognize that that moment when he narrowly avoided a bullet to the brain and blood strewn across his cheek, raised his fist and said, fight, 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 is an iconic piece of political history that I think cemented his victory and is going to be like a T-shirt and an image. And he became something greater and maybe more terrible. This is a sort of a value neutral or a positive negative neutral statement, but like you have to understand that
something happened
there and we all saw it. Imagine if you liked the guy and saw that happen. Imagine how you'd feel. That was a huge and terrifying and epic event.
And by the way, the T-shirt was out within 24 hours, thanks to China.
Jan, lots of stuff happens in the news. We don't want any of it to slip through the cracks, so we duly note things. Can I kick this off?
Yeah.
All right, this is going to sound like just another announcement of media job layoffs, and you know, in a sense it is. Chorus, which is Global News, they're in big trouble, and they have announced the layoffs of 300 more employees. Now, that is just like an everyday thing in Canada these days, but I'm duly noting this one in particular because I've been predicting for a while now that this steady drumbeat of media job losses, like we're cutting to the bone, we're cutting the bone off, we're cutting past the bone, we're cutting off the limb. Like at a certain point, the thing dies. And I've been saying there's going to be a lot of blood in the water and we're going to see a major news brand actually disappear pretty soon. And I fear that it is going to be Global News. Chorus is in incredibly bad trouble. Everybody remembers the Roger Shaw thing. Chorus Global News was affiliated with Shaw, and Shaw was overtaken by Rogers. So now you've got a Canadian media brand and a news brand that is detached from the telco that actually makes a lot of money. And it's just this media company on its own. And if you look at the financials, it's become a penny stock. Jen, I'm not a business journalist, but I can read a business story, and it seems like analysts are predicting that this thing may have no value. And if it has no value, there is not going to be Global News sometime soon.
That's right. And it's very sad. And there's no solution. No one sees a solution. Duly noted.
What have you to duly note, Jan?
Well, there's a new trend. It was reported by one of my former students, Wendy Gillis. She's a fantastic crime reporter at the Toronto Star.
She is a fantastic reporter.
She's fantastic. And Jennifer Pagliaro, the crime reporter, about a very troubling trend now to not name people in violent crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a case of a man killing two people in a North York office, and the victims were named, but the killer wasn't named. And then there's a wife who was strangled by her husband outside her Sault Ste. Marie home. And then there was a man in Toronto shot dead by a police officer outside a Scarborough medical building. And it's really troubling because the authorities are citing privacy laws and families and all this stuff, but you always have to weigh privacy concerns against the public interest. And in this case, public interest has to trump privacy because it matters who is killing. And the only reason we know about the North York office is because the widow of the killer, he killed himself too, I believe, came out and talked about it. And why? Gave the motive. Because these two people who were killed had been ripping off her and her husband and apparently ripped off a bunch of other people. And he felt so hopeless. It was his retirement money. He felt so hopeless he went and killed them. So the public interest there is to find out what are these lawyers doing? I believe they were both lawyers. And how come they're allowed to get away with it and take people's money? There's a definite public interest there. In the second case where the wife is strangled by the husband, the public interest is femicide. How much domestic violence is going on? We need to know who they are. We need to tell stories without names and faces. They're just a statistic and nobody will pay attention.
I wonder, though, if there's no new privacy legislation that's driving this. So what is new here? Why is this changing? And I wonder if it's just that the cops just feel less beholden to public transparency because the press is not as strong as it used to be to demand these things.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's very good. But we do have this deep culture of secrecy in Canada, which we will get into in our next segment.
Indeed, we will. Duly noted. That's Shortcuts, Jan. Thank you for joining me, as always.
So interesting. Thank you for having me.
Jan, I can be emailed by any of our listeners at jesse@canadaland.com. I read everything that people send. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter, @WriterWong.
Right or wrong? No, it's Writer Wong. This episode is produced by James Nicholson with additional production by Caleb Thompson. Our production manager is Max Collins. Our editor-in-chief is Karen Pugliese. Theme music is by So-Called Syndication by CFUV, 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca.
That I feel. nothing left.
Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Thank you.